Residents of two southern Philippine cities battered by a storm that left over 1,000 people dead today started the hard work of reclaiming their lives and livelihoods. Authorities also began the task of burying dozens of bodies in concrete vaults. The head of the National Disaster Agency said 1,002 people were killed and dozens more remained unaccounted for on Mindanao Island following the disaster. Lydia O'Kane spoke to Trevor Clark, Chief of Operations for UNICEF in Mindanao, about their main priorities.
It's a really serious situation, and we're looking to be engaged here for at least a number of months. It is around 1,000 people dead, and that's probably going to rise, in all honesty. And I say that with a heavy heart, that's for sure. But we have to now sort of really think about what we're going to do with the population of 450,000 people that have been affected. Whether they're in evacuation centers, which that number is around sort of 56,000-57,000 people. That's also going to increase as well. But also the people who aren't in evacuation centers but are maybe staying with family, but that's a pressure on the families as well, because this is a country that isn't sort of the richest place in the world. So the impact that doubling the size of a family as a result of a natural disaster of this magnitude is really, really awesome. And I don't mean that positively. So what UNICEF, and of course UNICEF, what we're really concerned about is, of course, children. Right now, we're doing a number of things, and let me just sort of briefly go through what those are. One of the priorities is we've assessed that water, sanitation, and hygiene are really at the top of priorities for children and women. This is also because, you know, these evacuation centers, and I've been to all of them, and they're over the brim. I was at one today where there was, 2 days ago, there was a population of 2,600 people in that evacuation center. Now, in 2 days, it doubled. It's actually more than doubled. It's now at 5,600 people. And you walk through there, and the smells just sort of overtake you. And so we've basically already, within a day, we mobilized a water purification mobilization unit to be flown down here from Manila. We've mobilized thousands of hygiene kits, and thousands of sanitary kits as well. So we're trying to hit, you know, even though we don't have really great numbers in terms of specifics, we knew that there's just this real strong need for wash supplies. So we've been able to mobilize that with the government, I should say. Governments, we have to give a lot of congratulations to them. They've really jumped on this. They've been very open. They've been very supportive and really taken an efficient lead in this whole process, I have to say that, of the Aquino government. I'm not saying that, and I'm not a big fan of government to sort of be biased like that, but I have to say that they've done a really good job in that respect. So WASH has been an immediate need, and we've been able to respond in a small amount at this point. The challenge right now is a couple fold. Is one, to make sure that we can mobilize the resources to purchase further hygiene kits and a lot of these WASH things, right, and to really make sure that these evacuation centers and these kids get clean water and get sort of those necessities taken care of, yeah? So while we're moving on that, we still need to do a lot more because it's a very large population that we're talking about here, yeah? So the next thing is what we're also very, very concerned about is if you think about the fact that this tropical storm hit Cagayan de Oro and Iligan City in this whole region, it's a bit of a freak of nature because the predictable path of tropical storms that Philippines is used to didn't happen in this case. And so this place got hit. And so you have a lot of people that were very unaware of what was going on. And so you have a lot of psychosocial trauma that's probably going to take place as well. And so what we're also really concerned about is making sure that we get that support to children. We need to create a level of normalcy for these children and even parents. So that's things such as, you know, creating ways they can have lots of fun. They can play games. They can start school and start learning again so that no matter what's going on outside of them, they're able to have that sense of normalcy. Yeah, that's a really important thing for us. The other thing is that we're in a real need also for other non-food items such as clothing and footwear and underwear that are child appropriate. Yeah, what we don't want is just sort of anybody just giving anything for clothing. We want sort of child appropriate clothing because that also, again, it takes care of the physical, but the type of clothing that they're forced to wear gets to their psyche as well, right? So this is about making sure that we're protecting their their self-esteem and their insight over the long term, while at the same time addressing their short-term immediate needs as well. Yeah. One of the fundamental things that we're also embarking on is probably going and doing a count of evacuation centers so that we can disaggregate the number of children in each of these evacuation centers, and then disaggregate that even further by female, male, and also by age as well, because that's going to allow us to really determine the amount of need that we do need in these places. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We've gone out for an international appeal, or we will be going out for an international appeal. You probably would have seen over all the UNICEF websites and various national committees and that we've started asking for donations and things of that sort. So, and, you know, I can say with confidence, UNICEF is, you know, when we do things, we do things with the children at the center of everything that we do. And this is what's driving us. And we've got a lot of really committed staff and a lot of really committed people down here. And that's just the way that we have to keep going. It's going to get tougher before it gets better. But this is kind of what UNICEF does, and so that's what we're doing.
There's been so many people that have been displaced there. They've been left with nothing. How long usually is it that people are in evacuation camps?
Yeah, well, it really depends. I mean, because these people's entire homes were basically literally swept away, you know, there's no buildings left. There's no homes left. So their only recourse right now is in these evacuation centers. There's 19 in Caguian de Oro. There's 16 in Iligan City. And that's where they're going. So we're not sure how long they're going to stay there. But what a lot of our partners and other UN agencies are doing are actually looking for alternative sites to place some of these people for shelter for a longer period. Because one of the things is that a lot of these evacuation centers are schools. Yeah, I guess if I dare say, fortunately, it is the school holidays right now, so it hasn't sort of affected school children at this point because it hasn't disrupted their education from that standpoint. But we do have to move fast because Christmas holidays don't last that long. So there is a big move right now with the government to look for alternative sites, and I believe they've identified about 4 sites that people can go to. The sad part, though, is that we are pulling at people's heartstrings here, right? People built their homes, so when it's all been sort of lost, people don't want to leave the immediate area where their house used to be, because at least they feel they're still there in a way. But we have to sort of work out ways that we can be gentle about sort of and very sensitive about, pulling them away from that and really finding them a place outside of schools and outside of these evacuation centers. Right now, we're looking at about sort of 3 months initially that they'll be in these evacuation centers. But we're hoping over that 3 months we'll be able to phase a large portion of them out into other locations.
Has it been difficult to access people?
No, actually, that's the great thing is that, and this actually gets back to a bit of the shock and a bit of the trauma that people have gone through. One day they're facing overpowering floodwaters that can take out entire buildings, cement structures. The next day, literally, it's sunshine, blue skies. So people are like, what just happened? And it really can, it's a real impact on people. And so, the positive side, again, dare I say, is the fact that we have little trouble with access and getting to these various places. There are a few barangays that are a little bit more difficult to get to, but we're confident that that'll be minimized as well. So we've got lots of vehicles here. I'm the chief of Mindanao, so I'm normally based in a southern city called Cotabato City. As soon as we learned, we had jumped in sort of in 3 out of our 4 vehicles and drove them all the way up here, which is about an 8-hour drive. So we've got lots of good logistics and easy access up here.
You were talking about obviously the trauma, the effect, people who have lost everything, and especially it just coming at this time of year, coming at Christmas time when it's supposed to be usually a happy time of the year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the button. I mean, in the Philippines, probably as much, if not more, than any other country that I've been in. I'm from Canada, so I know what the Christmas spirit means. But here, it's even more so. The time that people spend with their families, the time that people spend with their, getting presents, and the time they spend with, just with friends is really significant here. I can't understate that. And so for this to come at this time, you know, it's a tough thing to deal with. And, you know, I count myself really lucky. I can't imagine. And, none of us can imagine what these people are going through because, you know, we do have it a little bit better than they do. And we should be thankful for that. So right now, one of the best things that we can do is that when we're reaching out to people, it's a good sign when people show their resolve or whether or not they want to see a change in, you know, in the people's lives. This is an opportunity for them to do that by, you know, linking up with various organizations that are working here to give some donations and give some help. UNICEF is a very good machine in that respect, and nearly every cent gets to our victims when we start mobilizing resources. And that'll show a true spirit of why we, of the season, that's for sure.